You can see him on NBA TV. You know him from NBA.com, as well as the Hangtime podcast. He is Sekou Smith. Sekou, welcome to the show, buddy.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, buddy. How the holidays been treating you?
They're good. They're good. Not getting the kind of weather you guys are getting up in the north. So I'm hopeful everyone's staying warm up there.
We can send it your way if you want, man. I mean, I've seen what happens to Atlanta when you guys get a little bit of snow, but we can send it your way.
Yeah, we don't need any more issues down here, man. And I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan, so I'm very well versed in horrible snow, and I do not miss it.
All right. Well, I guess since you've got the cred on the snow related living environment, I will give you the pass there. Getting to the Cavs Warriors matchup on Christmas, I thought everything but the final minute 30 seconds, it was a phenomenal game. And then the last minute, and again, I'm from Cleveland, so of course it spoiled it. How do you think, I mean, you look at those three calls that the NBA has come out with, is that just kind of admission that we got those wrong? Is that enough kind of penance for their mistake?
Yeah, look, I think there's going to be human error until we get robots making the calls. And, you know, and even then you don't guarantee yourself they're going to get it 100% right. It's a tough way for that game to end with the mistakes that were made by the officials. But certainly it didn't take away from the overall feel for me that, you know, we could very well see Warriors-Cavs 4 in the finals. And we didn't even have Steph Curry and Isaiah Thomas in the mix, which to me is the biggest part, is that those two guys are going to have as, you know, as big a hand on that series potentially if it happens as anyone. So, you know, not the greatest finish, but certainly didn't lack the drama that I was expecting and that I come to expect from this rivalry.
Sekou, there are, if you're a Cavs fan, I think many things to be, you know, certainly looking forward to if these two teams would meet up again. Many would say that, you know, they're better equipped this time, especially with the bench. But one of the issues that reared its ugly head again on Christmas Day was transition and not getting back. And you know, Kevin Durant blocking a shot at the rim and then all of a sudden beating everybody else back down the floor and slamming it home. So there's reason to be hopeful if you're a Cavs fan, but some of those same things still are an issue and need to be cleaned up, right?
Yeah, and it's always going to be an issue when you just do the math. Golden State has a couple more difference makers, you know, elite difference makers than what the Cavaliers bring to the table. But, you know, Kevin Love, I thought, and I think is playing so well and is such a different player on this Cavs team than he has been on the past few. Jeff Green and Dwayne Wade off that bench make a huge difference. You know, but let's be honest, the Cavs have not added a player that can negate what Kevin Durant brings to the table. And that's the thing that the Warriors added after already having established a big rivalry, you know, with this Cavaliers team. So Durant is still the outlier. He's still the guy to me who makes the ultimate difference. And I don't know that the Cavs have made up for that.
Sekou Smith of NBA.com, NBA TV, and the Hangtime podcast on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter at Sekou Smith NBA. So I thought, you know, when we talked yesterday about the game, I was more concerned about the Cavs' struggles at the rim. If you look at their field goal percentage, their numbers at the rim tanked their shooting numbers despite having a pretty decent night from the outside. When you look at those struggles at the rim, I know we can't make too many far-reaching implications on a potential four-peat. Do you think that's really going to be something that could be an issue for the Cavaliers when they not just in January 15th, but also should they meet again for the fourth time in the finals?
Yes, I think it is, and I think Durant. It's hard for one guy to make that big a difference, but Durant does because of the length that he brings and the athleticism. And how many guys have you seen that can consistently bother LeBron James, you know, when he's trying to get to the basket or trying to finish around the rim? That, I mean, Durant's a rarity in that he can do that at at the highest level. And he's not a guy we talked about being some great defender or two-way player before he joined the Warriors. That's the remarkable thing. But if, unless Tristan Thompson, and I said this last year during the finals, unless Tristan Thompson's energy and effort around the basket, you know, supersedes whatever the Warriors can bring, I don't know that the Cavaliers have someone capable of affecting the game in that way, as a rim protector or rim finisher. You know, you can't expect LeBron to do everything all the time. And I know that's become kind of the norm, you know, to expect him to dial up these superhuman, you know, efforts all the time. But that's one area where I think even LeBron can't overcome the deficiencies that the Cavaliers would have in that area because of Durant. I think he just makes that big a difference.
Sekou, you lead me right into my next question. That was in regards to Tristan Thompson. He's back now after being out with that calf injury. I think Ty Lue is, you know, still trying to figure out how he works. That second unit was just going so well, and now he comes back. You mentioned the effort and everything that he normally brings. Do you see him? Do you see a regression from Tristan? Because I get nervous right now. As a Cavs fan, I'm looking at this team, and Tristan Thompson is not the same guy who signed that extension when I watch him as far as that energy and effort that you talked about.
Yeah, I don't know if it's regression. I think it certainly has something to do with the fact that he's coming off the injury right now. But,
okay.
But you're right. He didn't play at the same level last year in the finals. I didn't feel. And I think it's a compliment to him when you talk about Tristan Thompson being the game changer, the difference maker for, you know, for the Cavs, and that he doesn't have to have huge offensive games, but his defensive energy and activity around the basket is critical. I mean, because the Warriors are throwing Draymond Green and Kevin Durant at you in that fashion. And Durant can do it on both ends. He can get you 30 and then, you know, block three or four shots and affect the game in that way. So you're talking about two guys who are dialing that up at that level against potentially none, and that becomes an issue. And if you're Tristan Thompson, and if you're the Cavaliers and you're spending that kind of money on he and Kevin Love, if Love's going to go out and get you 25 and 12, Tristan has to go out there and get you double-digit rebounds, a couple blocks, and impact the game at a high level.
Sekou, you talked about the difference-making Kevin Durant. When we get for the Cavaliers, they've got the Brooklyn pick, they've got their own pick in 2018, a few young assets in a Jetty Osman, Ante Zizic. When you consider what might be available at the deadline, I know there's no Kevin Durant out there, but what do you think would be the best served addition for the Cavaliers at the deadline?
Listen, I don't think there's any team in the Eastern Conference right now that I look at and say, the Cavaliers can't overcome these guys, you know, with all things being equal. And if you're the Cavs, you have to bet on what you have on the roster now being enough to get you to the finals. And if you were to get to the finals and face the Warriors or even a Houston team that would be championship worthy, that your guys would be able to go to that next level, that the guys you have assembled could play at that next level without the addition, you know, of someone, you know, because to me, in the absence of an Anthony Davis type talent, somebody who's that kind of game changer the way Durant was for the Warriors, I don't know that there's a good deal out there worth you risking so much of your future to try and win this individual battle. Now, if you're playing it out in this season is all that matters and you're not keeping an eye on the future for that Cavs front office, then, yeah, there are lots of ways you could go for broke at the deadline. You know, you don't know who would be available, but, I mean, you could make calls around the league and see if Boogie Cousins is out there, somebody of that caliber, you know, to really go all in for a potential four-peat. But I think that's being short-sighted if you're the Cavs. With the assets you have to be thinking about not only trying to win a championship this year, which you know you're capable of. You did it 2 years ago. But you can't mortgage – you know, the near and distant future, you know, in the assets that you have in the name of that pursuit.
Sekou, excellent stuff as always, my guy. I really do appreciate your time and hope you and your family have a lovely and happy new year.
Hey, thanks. Same to you. Happy new year, guys.
Happy new year, buddy.
But
Sekou Smith of NBA.com, NBA TV, and the Hangtime Podcast joining us there on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline.